Wings of Mayhem, Book 1 of the Mayhem series by Sue Coletta, published by Tirgar Publishing, www.tirpub.com/SCOLETTA. Chapter 1. Friday, October 5th, 2011, midnight. The still silence of the night was my addiction. There's no better drug on earth. The sensation of being the only one awake, the only one stirring among peaceful, darkened homes, sent tingles through my core. Alone in the dark, I was free, alive, invincible. Nothing could touch me. With my head reclined back, I twirled in circles and let my arms float beside me. The cool night air sifted between my fingers, a light breeze whisking through my long, flowing hair. A slivered moon spilled through trees, casting shadows over the main drag of Bear Clave Estates, a gated community with million-dollar homes. Flashlight leveled, I veered off the road, trekked through three backyards, jumped two fences, and arrived at an 8-foot wall running the property lines around a massive estate. My target was this dude who thought he was an absolute genius by stealing hundreds of thousands from his company, siphoning a few bucks from each employee's retirement fund over the course of 3 years, netting him close to a mil. If ever there was a guy who needed to learn a lesson, it was Mr. Jack Delzin. Because I knew for a fact he wouldn't be home, now was the perfect time to play teacher. He lived in a gigantic contemporary home fronted with stucco and glass. This cool catwalk bridged a pond filled with black and white goldfish. Their bulging eyes made Don Knotts' peepers look tiny. A manicured lawn fringed the sides. Cherub statues and garden gnomes speckled the landscape. Pretentious as hell, but hey, I wasn't interested in the outside. I climbed the wrought iron gate, jumped off the top monogram crest, and landed hard on the tarred drive. My knees barely had time to absorb the blow before the stomping of many feet headed in my direction. I bolted for the catwalk, periodic glances over my shoulder at a pack of Dobermans charging straight at me. Long white canines snapped at my feet when I pulled myself up the railing and sprinted along the wooden slats. During my reconnaissance, I never once noticed Dobermans. Okay, maybe once, but not a pack, and not loose on the grounds after midnight. Why add more dogs? Unless he had something valuable to protect. If I weren't about to become dog food, this notion might have excited me more. Vibrations shook the catwalk. Two humongous attack dogs were in the lead, sleek muscles flexed with their fast-moving gait, their short, fudge-colored hair hackled, pink lips flapping with the force of their stride. With one foot set in front of the other, I moved cat-like, my arms extended at my sides, poised on the 3-inch railing as if it were a balance beam. Snarling, the dogs barked, bared their teeth, lips curled, sharp claws scratching and clawing the baluster rods, massive paws trying to knock me out. My chest heaved in and out, my gaze shifting to little darlings craving cat for their midnight snack. Incredible grace and speed had always served me well in the past, allowing me to outrun all sorts of trouble. A pack of hungry dobies? Perhaps that was a bit optimistic on my part. I turned toward my mark and narrowed my concentration on a wide ash tree with long, thick branches hooding the main entrance. The dogs barked, jumped, banged against the railing. White foam dripped off razor-sharp teeth. Being an animal lover, spraying mace in their adorable, albeit murderous, faces was not an option, though my mentor, Beau Adams, a deceased cat burglar, would have had my burglary credentials revoked if he witnessed this particular lapse in judgment. I blocked all distractions and fixed my sight on that tree. The limbs closest to the catwalk seemed plenty strong to hold my weight. I lunged for the massive branch, caught it with my fingertips, and swung my legs over, twisting to an upright position. I scrambled to the end of the branch and hopped off the roof above the main entrance, thrust out my chest, and flung up my arms. In your face, bitches. I regained composure. This was not the time to be cocky. With a quick snap of the finger, I flipped the hungry Doberman to the bird and followed the roof line to the backyard. A bathroom window beckoned. Shawnee, come in and play. Okay, maybe it didn't actually call my name, but it may as well have. Residents rarely locked bathroom windows, especially on the second floor, so I gave the wooden frame a gentle nudge and it glided open like a long-handled spoon through whipped cream. One last glance in all directions and I crawled inside. Feet first, I landed on the toilet seat. Thankfully, it was closed. Then padded to the doorway and scanned both ends of a wide hallway. The house was hauntingly quiet. Too quiet, for some reason. Granted, old Jackie Boy was still in holding until arraignment. This was a different kind of quiet. A strange aura with an ominous evil that rode the air. The creepy sensation screamed for me to turn back. You'd think that would have been my first clue. This job must turn out better than last week's. After all the trouble of hacking a Knox box, a supposedly unhackable box used in gated communities for emergency vehicles, I discovered my Mark snorted everything he owned. A few trinkets were hardly worth my time. Not to mention the skill involved to pull off a heist of that nature. To walk away empty-handed, in layman's terms, sucked. Average folks had no idea what went into pulling a professional heist. Half the general public believed what they saw in the movies, and the other half didn't care. In their eyes, we, and by we, I mean the artistically inclined, were no better than a common thug, a remark I found truly offensive. A common thug couldn't swing from trees like Tarzan of the jungle, hang from third-story windows by one hand, or scale rooftops like Mary friggin' Poppins. Prowling down the hall, I stepped on a squeaky floorboard and froze. Normally the rush of getting caught rippled across my skin, but tonight was not the night to dance with danger. I was on a mission to make Jack Delzin regret ever stealing from hard-working folks. Believe me, the irony was not lost on me. The steam furnace kicked on and wailed like an injured animal. Clangs and crashes from old pipes rattled the house. Floorboards shifted like they were alive and breathing. My thunderous heartbeat slowed to a quick pitter-patter, pitter-patter, just enough of general to make it interesting. If experience told me anything, it was when to cut my losses and bolt. No one caught me yet. Well, okay, once, but it wasn't something I put on my resume. The whole mess wasn't my fault anyway. If some goofy-looking dude with the neck the width of Rhode Island hadn't thrown a hissy fit when his steroid-infested body didn't, shall we say, cooperate in the bedroom, the soles of my boots would have hit the asphalt before the last fake moan out of his wife. The open floor plan in this place was the bee's knees. I especially dug a massive chandelier that hung from the second level and reached into the first. Crystal teardrops dripped from long, curved arms. Their twinkle captivated me. Ever since I can remember, I'd always been attracted to shiny things. It's no wonder I chose this profession. Well, chose wasn't the correct word. This life was what I fell back into when I saw rich assholes stealing from innocent people. I crept through a partially open doorway into a feminine master bedroom. An ivory lace comforter topped with pillow rolls had tassels dangling off the end. On the outside wall stood an antique vanity rocker matching his and her dressers and an armoire. In the dark, gold glinted in my light beam atop the narrow six-drawer dresser. Nice, I murmured, stuffing a select few of the necklaces and rings into my backpack. In my trade, it's not wise to steal all the jewelry, everything in moderation, a clueless homeowner equaled no urgent calls to the cops. Tan drapes pulled partially closed masked a glass wall overlooking the backyard. I peeked between the folds. The slivered moon cast a glow upon a massive oak tree in the corner of the yard. Opal-white stones formed an oversized circle around the base. No flowers planted within it, too wide and lopsided for the intention to be merely decorative. Like the rest of the property, I wrote it off to bad taste. Garden gnomes. Was there nothing uglier? I checked in nightstand drawers in the pockets of Dockers flung over an upholstered chair, between the mattress and box spring, inside the armoire, dressers, and under the bed. All in all, the bedroom held a treasure trove of valuable items. A gold watch, cash, and a 14-karat gold rope chain that was so my style. I stashed the goods in my backpack and moseyed down the hall. Skin tingling, warmth radiated through my core. Nothing compared to wandering through an empty home, twirling round and round, arms floating beside me. Lining the walls hung framed drawings in what looked like charcoal. Two upside-down stick figures, one in a dress and one without. A handprint and two vertical rectangles with no bottom bars. Jackie Boy was one strange dude. A door on my left held a sign that read, "Enter at your own risk." So of course I turned the knob. The sign seemed more like an invitation than a warning. But at first I hesitated. This was obviously a teenager's bedroom, evident by posters on the wall and an old corded phone decorated with nail polish. Hitting kids' rooms was not something I did. On further inspection, the newest poster was of David Lee Roth from Van Halen. So either this chick was living in the 80s or Daddy never redecorated after she moved out. Next to the phone sat a wooden puzzle box like the one I had at 7 years old. I swiped it more out of sentiment than value. Made from pine, it wasn't worth much. The box possessed an intricate pattern that drove most people bonkers. My cell phone vibrated in my pocket and I checked the caller ID. Shit. "What's up, Nay? Where are you?" I skimmed the contemporary. "Home. Why?" "You're out catting again, aren't you?" She knew I hated that word. "What? No! Christopher drove by your house and your Jeep wasn't there. Don't lie to me. You promised me you were done with that life. You checking up on me now?" "I knew it! You don't know shit." I ran out of kitty litter. "If there's nothing else, Your Honor, I've got to bounce." But I didn't have time for the third degree. Click. I ambled toward a wide, sweeping staircase similar to the ones in old black-and-white films and ran gloved fingers down the wrought iron railing, twirling off the end of the banister into the main level. First, I hit the kitchen. Whoever told the wealthy to hide their valuables in the kitchen did them a disservice. There wasn't a thief alive who hadn't figured that one out. I swung open the freezer door and rooted around inside. As I jiggled, a half-gallon of fudge swirl, a smile broke across my face. How stupid did he think I was? Fake ice cream container or coffee can didn't fool anyone. Neither did stashing valuables in the ice cube trays, in which I found two loose diamonds suspended mid-cube. I gave the greedy bastard an A for ingenuity, but he'd have to step up his game to beat me. In total, I pocketed about 30 grand worth of stuff, most of which I'd returned to the retirement fund via electronic transfer from Delzin, minus my fee, of course. He wouldn't understand, but since he was in a world of hurt, his lawyer would advise him to keep his mouth shut and roll with it, which he would do. I'd seen it happen many times. His attorney would argue this was his way of making retribution because the theft was all a huge misunderstanding or bookkeeping error. The prosecution would argue Delzin acted with intent, yada, 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 same drill, different mark. I crossed a short, hardwood-floored hall and landed in the living room. With a running leap, I swan-dived onto a puckered black leather sectional, flipped on my back, and gazed at the stars through another glass wall. Bright pinpricks of light danced across an inky black sky. It's important to take a moment to appreciate God's little gifts. Years ago, Mom drilled that negative wisdom home. I crawled off the sofa, my gaze roaming around the living room. Off to the left, oak pocket doors protected either a den or office. Straps dug into the top of my shoulders, the backpack overflowing with sterling gold jewelry and cash. A solid score. With gloved hands, I slid one of the doors aside. The moon spilled a cascading smolder through the slats of wooden blinds behind a long mahogany desk, kitty-cornered in the center of the room. On top sat a banker's lamp and burgundy desk pad with calendar, where Jackie Boy scrawled single digits on some of the days. I snapped a quick cell phone photo. One never knows when information could come in handy. To the right of the desk, a padlocked door drew my full attention. In seconds, I picked the lock. A foul odor struck me in the face like a slap from a jilted lover. I cupped a hand over my mouth and nose. The stench was like decay. I swallowed hard. Pitch blackness blanketed the inside. I leveled my flashlight. The beam dimmed, flickered, and then died. I banged it against a flat hand. Not now. Come on. Stay with me. No dice. The damn thing refused to cooperate. Using my cell phone, if I triggered the camera, the flash could, in theory, light my way. It's worth a shot. Bright light saturated the room in stark white for a split second and nearly blinded me. Multicolor spots filled my vision. I pressed the heels of my hands and my eyes, and this time, I flipped the camera so the flash faced the room. Flash. Framed portrait of a woman. Flash. Apron. Flash. Metal table. Flash, flash. Plastic on the walls. Flash, flash. Red splashes. An art studio, maybe? I aimed toward the table. Flash, flash. A power tool. Flash, flash. Hedge clippers? Flash, flash. Wait. If those were hedge clippers, then what was... Flash, flash, flash. I cocked my head. Huh? Flash, 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 flash. My sight narrowed on the floor beneath the table. Flash, 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 flash. I straightened, shifted in my stance. Flash, 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 flash. Can't be. A jolt of raw adrenaline shot through me. What are the chances I'm in his house? I sprinted out the room, missed the hole for the padlock 3 times before re-engaging the lock and hightailed it toward the staircase, tripping over my own feet. At the top, I slid around the end of the banister, the soles of my boots screeching across the hardwood. Keys in the front door stopped me cold, metal jingling against metal. My gaze tunneled on the doorknob. The door creaked open, slow, methodical, deliberate. I forced myself to breathe, to move, and hauled ass toward the bedroom where I crawled onto the window ledge. I dove for an oak tree, caught a branch with my fingertips and slid down the bark, hopped 2 fences, screamed through 3 backyards, and didn't stop till I reached my Jeep, parked on a dead-end road around the corner from Bear Clave Estates. Fumbling with the key, long scratches gouged the paint around the door lock before I managed to get inside. My piece of shit Jeep wouldn't start! I got out and slammed the door, punched and kicked the front quarter panel and hood till my knuckles bled. Raw, open cuts stung when I slipped behind the wheel and pumped the gas pedal, cursing the day I ever bought the hunk of junk. Sweat ravined between my furrowed brows, snaked down my nose, leaked into my mouth, salt niggling my taste buds. Again I tried the key, and the engine still wouldn't turn over. Come on, I drummed the steering wheel, punched the roof, and made promises I couldn't keep. no dice. The little bitch flat out refused to cooperate. Stroking my mother's rosary beads, hanging from the rearview mirror, helped ease my temper. With a calm exhale, I twisted the key. The battery ticked as though old Bessie wanted to comply. Before she changed her mind, I gently nudged the shifter into neutral, careful not to upset her again, and coasted down the hall. Halfway down the road, I popped the clutch. That got her motor purring. As I shifted into fourth gear, my cell phone rang. A quick glance at the caller ID told me I better answer. In a groggy voice, I said, "Hello. Sorry to wake you, Ms. Daniels, but we need you to come down the station. Say, 1 hour." That was chapter one of Wings of Mayhem, book one of the Mayhem series by Sue Coletta, published by Tiergar Publishing. You can find all the books at www.tirpub.com/SCOLETTA. Thanks for listening.